And we're back with the Two Dope Bros podcast. I'm your boy Chris, and I got my co-host with the most, Big K.
Yeah, I'm Big K today, so Big K it is.
And we're here at Cousin Ryan's house recording a special Halloween episode.
Oh, what's up? What's up, guys?
And Ryan one time, man.
That's right. We got a bunch of Jiffy Pop popcorn making applause.
Oh, shit.
Well, apparently they didn't like that. Okay. Yeah. We'll save that joke for next time then. So it's a day before Halloween.
Oh, it is. Yes, it is. And the weather's crazy, man. It's hot and cold. It's rainy. It's supposed to storm tomorrow. So for all you guys who don't know, we are in Virginia. It's supposed to rain and storm tomorrow. When we was kids, man, it was not doing that, man. It was cold and you know, it was just like a good Halloween vibe. But I don't know. This Halloween don't feel like a good vibe as far as the weather, man.
It's almost like climate change is real and global warming is actually happening. It's so weird.
Yeah. It is weird. I mean, just wrap your kids up just in case it is cold. I prefer, if I were you guys, I would still go trick-or-treating. Forget it. The kids gonna love it, you know what I'm saying? We do have some spots now that we could tell you guys to go, you know.
Let me talk about this with you, okay? Because my first real celebrated Halloween was last year.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Now, I mean, since I've been down here, normally we just, you know, watch Hocus Pocus a couple times and, you know, boom, that would be it.
So you've never, like, really been out and, like...
I've never really been out here in Central Virginia during Halloween. And so my wife and I, we went and we decorated the house inside, outside. We put the big old spider webs on the outside. Okay. You know, we had the window clings up in. We went full costume. You know, my wife was a spider lady. And, you know, I was a dark skeleton. And we got our big bowl of dollar store candy.
Okay.
And we turned our light on. And we waited. And we waited. And we waited.
Wow.
And the whole time when kids are supposed to be out trick-or-treating, we didn't get a single person.
Where was y'all standing? Where y'all at now?
Yeah, where we're at now.
We're
up the street from an elementary school, so you would think lot of kids.
You would think it'd be some kids in that neighborhood anyway, but...
But we live in kind of like a serial killer enclave. So there's no streetlights going off the main road onto our street.
It's not.
No.
I'm really not thinking about it.
And there's no sidewalks at all in my neighborhood. And it's mostly all uphill.
The other houses and stuff decorate around you guys?
There was one other house last year that decorated, but they were about half a block down. Wow. So we're one of... only two houses on the block that are decorated for Halloween. It's impossible to get to our neighborhood.
Okay.
And you don't want to walk your kids in the dark.
Right. Nah, no. Hell no. No. You do not want to walk down no dark street. I mean...
So what was Halloween like growing up around here? Like, was trick-or-treating a really big deal?
It was. It really was. It was. It was a great celebration. I mean, me being younger, when I was younger, I was going to, like, Rivermont. Like, the good, like, you know, like, like...
Over by Randolph College.
Right, like, and I was going to, like, Fort Avenue. And those is good spots still to this day for kids. I know a lot of people go to Cornerstone now and, like, Winhurst and stuff.
Okay, now, Cornerstone is up the street from me.
Yeah.
So, after... Well, it's not up the street. It's probably about a mile down the road.
Yeah.
But after about 2 hours of not getting any trick-or-treaters, we got in the car. We started driving around.
Sounds like a good place, too. I'm just trying to name a place where a lot of houses are. And people that you can, you know, walk and go. it's a long walk, but it's worth it. You know, it's a lot of houses that celebrate it. And that's what you want, especially during Halloween with children. You want to go somewhere where it's a Halloween thing. You don't want to just go to houses with porch lights on. You want them to dress up and do things, you know. And I think, like I said, one of the places, Rivermont, they still, like, certain houses, they do haunted houses. Shit, there's certain houses you can't even walk past because it just look too scary. It can have a tent outside with smoke coming out of it, you know. Yeah. And he's just like, nah, I'm not going. You know, they still celebrate it in a good way, in a fun way, so.
And I guess that's the difference between growing up in the city around people and, you know, I live out in the suburbs.
Right, right. Because I never like, did Halloween in the country or...
Right.
You know, I don't know how it really worked down there, but, like, for the most part, my mother or, like, my dad or whoever I went to trick-or-treating with, they would make sure it was somewhere where it was a lot of houses where they knew a lot of people celebrated it. You know, because, you know, Halloween back then for me was probably like 5 to 8, 5 to 9, you know. Yeah. It was hours. We was out there feet hurting. Bags of candy, man. Bags and shitload of candy. Now, what's the curfew? They got a curfew for it, don't they? It's probably like...
I don't even know, but you keep bringing up the word celebrate, and I think that's the important distinction. Well, because in my neighborhood, there's a lot of Liberty students. There's a lot of people that are in that culture, and so they don't celebrate Halloween. They might do a autumn trunk or treat at their church.
Yeah.
But the secular Halloween, the way the Halloween is celebrated, you know, by those outside the evangelical community.
Yeah.
You know, and that's I don't really see that. So. Yeah.
And I see it now, man. When I was younger, you know, just I thought Halloween was just another holiday. You know what I'm saying? But as you do get older, you realize, like, you know, a lot of people even don't celebrate Halloween. And I understand why, man. Or they'll go to the church and do just that little local trunk or treat. And there's a lot of places you can go for that, too. I heard the mall was doing something, too, man.
I actually was by the mall the other day. I was doing a delivery for DoorDash. I was picking up a Subway order. And the mall had the haunted pumpkin patch.
Oh, gosh.
And so, like, how they have the Santa's Village or the Easter Bunny Village, they kind of decorated that spot up. And, you know, you could go in costume, take your kids, and, you know, it was a whole, you know, safe deal. I think, I'm not sure if that speaks more to, like I said, again, this area being so, you know, conservative and, you know, in the Bible Belt of Virginia, where you'll see, you know, in, you know, stores, you'll see, like, Halloween decorations, and then you'll just see, like, a plain autumn pumpkin. And it's like... Okay, I understand the cultural differences of why y'all might not celebrate it.
Yeah, well, yeah, you mentioned that it was, like, conservative in nature, which is true for this region. So when it comes to that aspect of it, a lot of people that don't want to celebrate Halloween because Halloween's associated with a lot of pagan history, they will choose to celebrate the season instead. So they'll celebrate autumn and fall and stuff that represents that. That's why you'll see a lot of pumpkins and apples and, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah, it's confusing, though, because then what do you tell your kid when they want to dress up?
Right, right.
It's like, we're celebrating the harvest. Well, isn't that what the whole reason why these people got into Halloween in the first place? Well,
wouldn't that actually rely on your own personal beliefs?
Well, what happens when you get to school, though?
Yeah.
When you're in school, especially growing up, because they, I don't know what they do now, but we used to celebrate Halloween in school, you know? So
yeah, we had Halloween parties. I remember... dressing up, you know, going to school. And I went to Catholic school, and I grew up, you know, 60 miles north of Philly, 70 miles south of New York, you know. So, like, I grew up in the heart of the Northeast, and I remember just spooky Halloween. And I went to Catholic school until, you know, about sixth grade. Spooky Halloween. I went to public school up until I graduated. Just spooky Halloween. Started to see some of the more politically correct, you know, kind of sensitive to everybody's belief stuff come in later. But I remember the first time I watched Hocus Pocus, I was probably, you know, 9 years old, watched it in school during Halloween. So,
speaking of Hocus Pocus, we gotta talk scary movies. Since it is coming up Halloween, so, you know, we gotta talk scary movies.
Okay, that wasn't the scream I was hoping for, but all right, scary movies, we got that.
Scary movies.
There we go. That sounds a lot better.
Should we do a top five? What's your go-to scary movie?
Now, are we going Halloween specific or just horror as a genre?
Yeah, that's too vague. Because there's the hottest that's going right now, and I would actually say that's The Lighthouse by Robert Eggers. The stars Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson.
Now, is that just horror or is it Halloween?
It's, from what I've been reading, it's a little hard to describe. It is a horror movie, but kind of like a psychological thriller. It's in black and white, but everything I've heard about, it's scary as hell.
Okay. I don't know, man. If we go on Halloween, I was always a big Jason fan, man. I was a big Jason Voorhees fan. If we doing Halloween, but...
You mean Michael Myers?
Nah, I don't really like Michael Myers, man.
Well, Jason is Friday the 13th, and Michael Myers is Halloween. Halloween is in the name of the movie.
Thank you. You cannot think about Halloween in American culture without thinking about Michael Myers.
Oh, you're right, and that's the first thing that came to my head, but that's not what I mean, that's the American answer. That's not me. I like Jason Voorhees. I feel like Jason Voorhees will do Michael Myers dirty. Michael Myers is not who he say he is.
Well, I agree to that. Jason Voorhees has supernatural powers. Supposedly, exactly. Michael Myers is the way. I ain't gonna fight.
Now, you know Crystal Lake is in New Jersey.
Well, I did not know that.
Yeah. There's actual Camp Crystal Lake is in New Jersey. It's actually a tourist destination. They do Jason, you know, theme stuff there. They have a sleepaway camp.
Oh my god.
That was another horror movie from the 80s, Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway Camp.
Yep.
But so we're going with you got Jason from
Jason Voorhees.
Now which Friday the 13th movie are you going for?
That's a good one. You know, after they made For Me, it's a lot of them. But after they made probably like the third one or the fourth one. I liked it when it was on Camp Crystal Lake. When they started branching them off to New York and
Jason Takes Manhattan. It's horrible.
Oh my gosh. He goes to space. But, my
thanks,
God.
Jason X. I say Jason X. The worst shit ever put to film.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I branched off to him. I was real scared of Chucky when I was younger.
Child's Play. Chucky. Now, have you seen the reboot?
I watched the first 30 minutes of it. It made me mad as soon as I like the old school, you know, Chucky. I want to see Charles Lee Ray. I ain't like how they did it, how the guy was just mad because he got fired or whatever. He just basically rebooted the Chucky and shipped them all. I didn't like that. I need some lightning. I need a person getting sacrificed. I need that Charles Lee Ray. If you're going to reboot a movie like that, man, you can't disrespect that movie. That was so disrespectful, man.
So you can't have a computer virus. You've got to have the whole voodoo sacrifice.
Yeah, but I didn't
serial killer reborn inside the doll.
I didn't give it a chance. I should have just watched the rest of it, but I was so mad.
And that makes me laugh because when I think of that movie, you know, I think of Aubrey Plaza in it and Brian Tyree Henry.
Yeah.
Paperboy from Atlanta. And that he reminds me of you so much. So I'm like, oh, he's gotta be.
I see it.
You know, he's gotta be in it.
I like Bride of Chucky was good. After Bride of Chucky, I didn't watch nothing.
Have you seen Cult of Chucky?
I tried. I even tried to watch Seed of Chucky. I cannot get into it.
No. Seed of Chucky was the worst one in the entry. Yes, Seed of Chucky was the worst.
Movies are not the same like they used to be.
Franchises that could have killed it after one. Have you seen Jeepers Creepers 3?
Yes. Matter of fact, I'm so pissed off at that movie. Look, the movie came out in theaters, right? It actually premiered on a Thursday here in Lynchburg at the Regal, for people that don't know. So we went and bought tickets to go see the premiere. We went and actually saw the movie. And I'm going to tell you what I thought about it in a second. Then 3 days after we see the movie, it premieres on fucking Sci-Fi Channel.
I thought it was fake when I seen it on Sci-Fi, but it surely did.
Thank you. I was like, hold on, is this Jeepers Creepers 2? I hope it is.
Two was a go. That's the one where it was on the bus, right? Or was that one?
That's two.
Two, yeah, exactly. I like two. But three, trash. The Hills Have Eyes is a good movie.
The first one.
The first Hills Have Eyes?
The first one.
The original one or the first
one? Well, of course, the original was a class one, but I'm talking about even the reboot. The first one's better than the second one.
Now, I didn't really get into them. Like, I have a kind of touch and go relationship with horror movies.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't really get into too many, like, it's funny because Fallen with Denzel Washington is my favorite horror movie. And
really?
Filmed in Philly. But I don't like any other movie that has anything to do with demonic possession or demons or none of the supernatural stuff. I can't mess with it. I can understand Michael Myers.
Yeah.
I can understand, you know, Jason. I can even bend my mind for Freddy Krueger, the Dream Master. But any of that Insidious, Annabelle, The Conjuring, no.
What about Carrie?
Carrie is...
That's different.
Psychological.
That's different.
Yeah.
Plus, that goes into Stephen King.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even his bad ones, you kind of like a little bit, just because it's him.
And with Stephen King, you know, you've seen kind of a resurgence, a reinterest in his work, especially with the two It movies coming out. Have you seen either of those?
I haven't seen the newest one.
Okay.
I've seen both.
The old one and then the...
Yeah, I was going to say, have you seen the TV miniseries with Tim Curry, which was horrifying as hell? Mm. And then you have the reboot
I'll say this about that one.
Okay.
A great, 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 great production. It was fun to watch. But because it was so long ago, everything looks dated. Everything about the movie, or the little miniseries, whatever, is trash, except for Tim Curry's portrayal of Pennywise. Every time he's on screen, captivated. Seriously, that's the only good reason to watch that. Now, as far as the remakes, the first one was pretty good. As a matter of fact, I would say that the first one was better than the second one that just came out.
Yeah, the first It?
Exactly.
Now, do you think that has to do with the difference of the Losers Club being all grown up? Or versus when they're a kid, so it's scarier? Or is it more of the technical aspects of the film?
No, from the technical aspect, you got, what is his name? Andy Muschietti directing it. Fantastic director. I mean, just amazing. He did Mama, which I actually didn't like, but visually the shit was good. But no, the problem with the film, from my perspective...
Mama was trash.
I'm talking about from a technical standpoint.
Mama was trash.
I thought
you were talking about Ma at first.
I haven't seen Ma.
Do not waste your time. But continue.
Past it. Anyway, the problem... No, nigga, not Ma. Anyway, the problem with It Chapter 2 actually has to do with the fact that the ending for It in the novel, which the director is following... You know, Pennywise ends up turning into this giant-ass spider-like creature with the lights and everything. That shit don't translate well to film and to necessary viewers nowadays from what we can see and would find in theaters. So because of all of that, it pales in comparison to the first one that you put out a couple years ago. That's all I was saying.
Okay.
Now, still a good movie. A lot of people would like it. Of course, it's Stephen King, so people are going to like it regardless. But if I had anything bad to say, that was it. Now, my... favorite thing about this last film that came out was the casting. They got the casting exactly perfect, right? Balls on target, perfect. They lined up every possible kid that they had with their perfect counterpart in the future. As a matter of fact, if I heard correctly, the kids actually got to pick and choose who would actually be playing them, right?
Yeah, Finn Wolfhard chose Bill Hader.
Yes.
So Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things, he played a younger version, and then he picked Bill Hader to play him in the new movie. So, okay, we're going to go with top 5 scary horror movies. We're not going to go Halloween theme. Right. My number one is Fallen, Denzel Washington.
Okay.
My number two...
Is it a top 5? Is it a specific order, just 5?
This is just, right, just top 5.
It's top 5, okay.
Okay, so top 5, no particular order. Number 1, Denzel Washington, Fallen. Number 2, I'm going to go with It Follows.
Okay.
It Follows is so terrifying to me because it can... change its shape. It's always after you. It never stops moving. And the whole way that they painted a picture of where it kind of looks like it's in the past, but it also looks contemporary. Yeah. So it gives it that small town suburban feeling, like this could really happen on your street.
Yeah.
You know? Then I'm going to go crazy and I'm going to say the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Okay.
And the original one with Johnny Depp. Yep. And, you know, the whole, all the blood.
Yeah.
Like, that really freaked me out. Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yes. I remember that stupid shit.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
You remember? All right. You might have not saw that one. It was goofy as hell.
It's on Netflix right now.
80s camp horror.
And the makeup is just way overdone. And these clowns from outer space crash land on Earth and begin murdering people.
they cover them in fucking cotton candy, stick a big ass straw in it, and suck out the blood.
They deep fry the guy's head at the fast food place.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember seeing it as a little kid and just being totally freaked. And then I watched it in my 20s and I was like,
done.
It looks campy, but I'm still gonna have nightmares about these killer clowns.
Yes.
And then this one is gonna be actually Friday the 13th part 2.
Huh.
And it's because of my two older cousins, Tyler and Byron. So when I was a little kid, sometimes I would go over and my godmother, you know, I'd stay at her house overnight, and I had two older cousins, Tyler and Byron, and they were watching Friday the 13th, part 2. And I'm so scared of Jason Voorhees. And I'm looking to my older cousins to protect me. And I'm sitting there in my little Philadelphia Eagles pajamas. And they said, well, Jason only goes after little blonde-haired kids. And I'm like, oh, shit, my hair's blonde. And Jason only goes after kids who wear Philadelphia Eagles pajamas. And I'm like, oh, I'm wearing Philadelphia Eagles pajamas. Uh-oh. And they're like, well, I guess we're going to go to bed. And then they just lay down and pretend to go to sleep. And I'm shaking them. And Tyler Byron, wake up. Jason, go kill me. He's going to come off the screen and kill me. So that's mine.
I'm going to go with Saw 2. That's one of my favorites. I like Saw 2, man. I just love Saw 2. And it's a good scary movie. I mean, I ain't really got no reason why. I just watched it the other day and I love Saw 2. I could go with 13 Ghosts for number 2. I like 13 Ghosts.
Okay.
I can't find it. It used to come on TV a lot. I done looked on hella apps. They don't bring, I don't know why. I looked on hella movie apps, you know. Can't find it. Number 3 for me, I'm going to go with... It was a fucking doll movie, man. It was like a fucking Pinocchio-type doll.
Pinocchio's Revenge?
It might be, yeah.
In the 90s.
Boy, I seen that shit when I was like 8, my nigga. I'm telling you, boy. Straight A student for a couple months. So I'll be that motherfucking coming, boy. Man, I was so scared of that shit, man. And they, let me see. Another one for me, man. I don't know. We talking scary. It just depends on the type of scary we're
talking
about.
You know, I forgot to mention Tales from the Hood.
That was a good one. That was a good
with
one.
With the little penny dolls.
I remember. So that wasn't scary for me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it reminded, you know, it was a takeoff of the Twilight Zone episode with the little dolls. And it was also a takeoff of, you know, what they called like the 4 scariest minutes on TV. So basically this guy, he's real racist. He owns a plantation and he's like running for governor or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's got this mural of all the slaves that used to live on his land.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden these little dolls that looked like Lil Penny, which was in the Nike ads at the time for the Air Penny shoes. So these dolls start popping up at his house. And they start attacking him. Ooh. And he thinks he's losing his mind. And he's looking over at the mural. And all the slaves are coming down.
Oh, yeah. That's
as these dolls.
Scary.
Yeah.
What?
But the scariest one for me was The Monster with David Alan Grier.
I remember.
Where he was the abusive stepdad.
Yep. And the little boy had this drawing. And if he ripped it and tore it in half and balled it up, which he eventually did, that destroys the monster.
That's all he had to do?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
But now, see, I'm seeing that as a little kid. Yeah. And I'm also watching In Living Color. Oh. So this man has gone from two steps and around the world to, oh shit, I was mom. Yeah. I was like, yo, I can't watch In Living Color like this. It changed David Alan Greer for me for years. Yes. I couldn't look at him the right way. So, what else you said? Pinocchio's Revenge.
The Leprechaun.
The Leprechaun.
Leprechaun 1 and 2. When he came to the hood and shit, I realized he was a funny guy. But other than that, 1 and 2 was scary. When he went to the hood, that was the most bootleggingest shit I ever seen.
Was it?
I was still young when it came out, right. So I'm looking at this shit like, the fuck? And I used to live like on Park Avenue, so I'm looking like, that nigga could be walking around here at any moment. But nah, that nigga, I don't know. The first and second one was very scary. I used to be scared of midgets, so seeing that motherfucker dressed up looking, I ain't like gold rainbows, man. None of that.
Man, you see the one where that nigga went to space?
See, I was done after he went to the hood, but that's
she had one. She had Juana Man in it. Remember that?
See, that's exactly why.
Okay, cousin Ryan, what are your five favorite scary horror movies?
Five favorite. All right. I would have to say Hereditary.
Ooh. See, that's another one I'm not messing with. Nope.
Yes. Yes. Recently came out, directed by Ari Aster, who's very quickly started to shoot up to one of my favorite directors.
Toni Collette is
leading. Toni Collette, yep. Mm-hmm. She's in that. Gabriel Byrne, actually Burns. no pun intended. Other than that, The Shining. Has to be on my list.
It was
when I saw it as a kid.
Yeah, all
come
right,
on, this
see.
Stanley Kubrick fucking with your head. Like, yeah, come on now.
Especially when they go into the room with the dog.
Yes.
And no.
The Exorcist.
Mm. That's another one that's people legit. One. Yeah.
The original one.
Yes, the original Exorcist from 70s, whatever. Yes,
no,
with Linda Blair.
I meant to say, I don't mean to cut you off, but because I thought you said this just now, but the Poltergeist, that was a fucked up one for me. I thought that's what you was just talking about, but you talking about The Exorcist, but yes. Continue.
Talking about The Exorcist. When the shit came out back in the 70s, the shit was so wild that the theaters actually had to have barf bags on the back of seats for people to throw up.
People were falling out in the aisles, running out of the theater before the film was over.
Thank you. People had to go to fucking the psychiatrist to get checked after that movie. That's how fierce that shit was. Other than that one, besides The Shining, I would have to say, wait, two left?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There's so many of them.
Well, see, with The Exorcist actually had a serial killer as part of the cast. Like, they didn't even know that this guy...
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
So the original one?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Anyway, so last two, I would have to say, scared the shit out of me as a kid, was Child's Play.
Yeah, that fucked me up.
And then, and I'm curious as to why no one mentioned this one yet, Hellraiser.
Ooh, Pinhead.
I didn't really watch
that
when I was a kid. So.
Boy. And you lucky. You lucky. You probably grew up all right. USA, well adjusted right now.
My name, I'm talking about clowns and yeah, space. Yeah, but you don't.
Nah, that's God. That's that goofy horror shit. We talking about Hellraiser. We talking about sadomasochistic, demonic.
Yeah, you right.
Murder and incestual type. That shit was fucking crazy.
You right.
From the mind of Clive Barker, ladies and gentlemen. Oof. Oh, and I'm sorry. Last but not least, Candyman.
Not Candyman. I was gonna say that just for the simple fact that we go in the bathroom and that shit was scary as fuck to say. I used to say it twice and dip out. I almost feel like somebody was grabbing me, but that shit is a game, people. See what I mean? But what was I gonna say? As far as like horror movies, it is a big difference between horror movies and just flat out scary. Because I was gonna say Buried. It's really not a horrible one, but shit that scared me nowadays in movies is shit that can really happen. So when I see a movie like Barry, y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh my god, y'all gotta go check this. It's basically about a guy. He wake up. The movie. The guy's in a casket. The whole movie.
You talking about Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool?
Okay, so he's buried alive.
Yes, yeah. Bro. And he just in there. He don't know how to get out, bro. He found a cell phone in his pocket.
Ain't seen Kill Bill.
What a Kill Bill.
The Bruce Lee 1-inch punch.
Bro,
punch your way all through the dirt. Yeah, that's
what that is. With that little track phone in his pocket. End up contacting the president, some more shit, trying to figure out. All in all, at the end, they digging him up. He like, I can feel you, I can feel you. And then they were like, we opening the casket. He on the phone about to die. And then they ended up somewhere else opening a whole nother casket. He like, there's nobody in here. Then the movie cut off, it cave in and call. So he really dying that shit. Like, shit like that fucked me up when I watch it. Like, I'm just like, damn. That shit was crazy, so.
So. Okay, so we're back, and we're gonna try to finish up with a little sports roundtable. So we were just talking during the break about what's going on in sports. Do you see that the Bengals benched Andy Dalton on his birthday? Should. On his birthday, though.
He should have been benched some, man. Andy Dalton is trash, man.
Don't tell that to the people in Buffalo.
You can tell AJ Green that. He'll tell you. Andy Dalton should have been like, it's quarterbacks all in the NFL that need to go, but Andy Dalton is one of them. Come on, man. Y'all got to start thinking about the future and the franchise, man. Get Andy Dalton out of here. But now, you know, the Bengals always had problems with their defense, man. Their defense. They had a good offense, but their defense always been a little like suspect. And then it costed them a lot of games. So,
but speaking of trash quarterbacks, let me talk about Joe Flacco.
Oh my gosh! Oh, hold on. Before you do that, how do you feel about your new quarterback?
I love Lamar. I love Lamar Jackson.
Love Lamar.
Ever since he played at Louisville. I remember watching the game and I said, this man might score eight touchdowns.
We used to talk about it. Yes. We was watching that man as he was working his magic on the field, people. He
Heisman Trophy winner.
Yes, bro.
And they said, well, in the combine, Lamar might have to turn to playing safety. Lamar might have to play wide receiver. Lamar said, I'm a quarterback. I'm a Heisman Trophy. Exactly. Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. I said the same thing, though, when Troy Smith came out.
They tried to do that with Tim Tebow, too.
And they said Troy Smith wasn't tall enough to play quarterback. They turned my man Tebow. They tried to make him into a gunner and a punt protector. Did him dirty, Pastor Tim. Shout out to Tim Tebow, Tebow Foundation.
Shout out to him.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm so glad because our first round pick was Lamar. Lamar was our guy. Lamar and Hayden Hurst. When I saw him step onto that stage and put on the hat, oh, my heart exploded because I had my heart broken by the mediocre quarterbacking of Joe Flacco for too many years.
Hold on, say his name one more time.
I have had my heart broken by the mediocre quarterbacking of Joe Flacco for too many years. He is an adverb.
Yes, he is.
To pull a Flacco means you either throw it 10 yards in the dirt in front of your receiver or 15 yards over the head of your receiver.
I seen him get lucky one time. Who was y'all playing? It was either the 49ers or the Steelers. It was in the playoffs. It's
been the Niners.
It was the go to the championship, I think. It was the year, matter of fact, Ray Lewis won.
So y'all that'd be 2013.
Y'all had a play to get to the Super
Jacoby
Bowl.
Jacoby Jones.
Yes, bro.
Not long.
He just threw that bitch up there, bro.
But see, here's my thing. I was a Joe Flacco fan when he played at Delaware with Brian Westbrook.
Okay.
It did not translate. But I had been used to a history in the post-McNair era of Ravens quarterbacks, of mediocre quarterbacks. I love Anthony Wright, but he's no McNair. Y'all remember Kyle Bowler?
Yeah.
Mm. Chris Redmond? Mm.
Yeah, I remember Chris Redmond.
Terrible.
Yeah,
terrible
horrible
quarterbacks. So when we got Flacco, I was excited because although Ray Lewis said in the intro to Madden 2000, defense wins championships, we know that in the current NFL, you can't just do it with a running game and good defense. You need to air out the ball. The rules are changing, making it more quarterback and wide receiver friendly. So with Flacco overthrowing and underthrowing in the same game, sometimes at the same time, I just couldn't do it anymore. And so I watched with a perverse amount of glee at the end of the game where the Dolphins are up 15-13. Joe Flacco has the ball. There's less than a minute left. He gets the snap. He drops back. And he drops and he throws it short. Next play.
Am I seeing what I think I see right here?
What's that?
Now I'm seeing right here say this right here is not his career, is it?
You just fucked up the whole drama from my story, but go ahead.
This Andy Dalton though.
Yeah.
This is this from this year?
Yeah.
204 completions, 9 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I would have benched them too. We should have been benched them. Oh my gosh. I'm not gonna go here. I've been looking at his stats for like 2 minutes. I'm like, what the? I'm like, this can't be real. He done been sacked 29 times this year, bro. And 6 fumbles.
That's why we've put the red rifle at parade rest, I guess.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I'm so glad y'all got that quarterback now. I wanted him. We needed him. Because you want to speak about trash quarterbacks. Y'all actually, what you think? They need to get rid of Joe.
Now, I'll tell you, the Falcons should actually be looking at Chase Young out of the Ohio State. Because that man is a monster. He's unblockable.
Bro, you know something though?
It's like 6'7", like 300 pounds.
Ohio State is my squad in college, bro. And it's our system too, bro. We have a real good system, bro. Like, every quarterback that come in there breaking each other's records, and it's just crazy, bro. Our offense is so high power. We even lost, like, what, 4 games over the past, like, 17 years or some shit like that. Ohio State, the truth. Matt Ryan, trash. Trash, bro. I've been telling you this for, what, 2 years now? Trash. Everybody always go, hey, you give a chance. He ain't. No, trash, bro.
I got a soft spot in my heart for Matty Ice.
Me too, man. But it's, nah, man.
Matty Ice, suburban Philly, represent. So, William Penn Academy. I got to show some love for Matty Ice. He was the quarterback for Boston College.
Yes, he was.
When Steve Appenvicious from my high school walked on as a field goal kicker at Boston College.
What the fuck?
He was the toast of college football for about a week. So shout out to Steve. Shout out to William Penn Academy.
Fuck Matty Ice, man. He tough. We are now 1-6, man. We might as well tank. Try to get.
Well, yeah, you're gonna tank.
Yeah,
the tank is on for Chase Young. I don't think, and I think y'all are the undisputed.
The Dolphins might get him.
The Dolphins are not an NFL football team. They're a bunch of homeless people that they bribed with sandwiches and showers. Ooh, did you hear to come and play?
Did you hear about them giving out trading everybody from the Jets?
I did not.
The Jets is a circus, man. Nobody wants to play with them for them.
Nobody wants to play with Adam Gase. Adam Gase has no idea what he's doing.
Exactly, bro.
Sam Darnold may end up a ghost at the end of the season with the way that this man is not protected. Le'Veon Bell wanted out. They went to get rid of who? Jamal Adams?
Well, I keep hearing so many stories about Kaepernick, man. Every time I see a quarterback get hurt, they're like, Kaepernick is time to sign. I've been seeing memes every day, time to sign Kaepernick. It never happened, though, man.
So, we're going to need to put that hot take alert on here again. Okay? Because I feel like any opinion that we're going to express about Colin Kaepernick is going to become a hot take. But I would say hot take alert. Now, oh, and gosh, that was in poor taste because I'm talking about Colin Kaepernick. Oh, God. Oh. But I don't think Colin Kaepernick will ever play again in the NFL, and it's a shame.
It's sad, man.
Yeah.
It's sad.
I was a fan, kind of, when he was at Nevada with the pistol offense, and I thought, man, look at this mixed guy, step it up, looks like me. He got the arm. He about to do it. Okay. He's playing for the 49ers, which were a garbage fire.
Yeah.
You remember Mike Singletary being the coach and all of that. And Cap comes in and they get it together. And it's the Harbaugh versus Harbaugh Super Bowl, you know, when the Niners played my Ravens, especially with the weird blackout. Did we ever?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that halftime blackout. And then y'all won.
Happened during that blackout.
Baltimore thing.
But, you know, I kind of feel like, and it may just be, you know, again, what I see with my eyes, the eye test, because he's not really going in full pads against competition anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel like the game's passed him by.
Yeah.
Like, I remember in 2012 when RG3 was out and the read option was the thing.
Yeah.
You know? And just fooling people like a magician all the time. And I loved it. I loved watching it. But I would say, slide, Robert, slide, because I knew Washington didn't care about him. And that terrible field, and FedEx Field, go mess up his legs. And what happened?
That was a sad story.
That terrible spray-painted field messed up my man Robert's legs. Man,
type in RG3 or type in Jamarcus Russell.
Oof.
If you ever want to see talent go to waste, man.
With Jamarcus, that was a lot more of his own doing.
You think so? I feel like he went, but the Raiders were sorry when he went to
the Raiders were sorry, it but they trash. Gave him more money than God. And he was walking around on that lean, walk around fat.
Yeah, I know, man.
You know, he could throw the ball, you know, 75, 80 yards. Just not to anybody in particular.
Out of shape.
Okay. I wanted to see a Jamarcus Russell comeback like nobody's business.
I did too.
But didn't happen. Couldn't get himself together.
Wasn't in the cards.
Wasn't in the cards. Just like I say for Cap. Cap took a stand for what is right. And let's clarify this. Okay? Let's make this crystal clear to people.
Okay.
Colin Kaepernick was not protesting the troops. He wasn't protesting America. He wasn't protesting the president. He was protesting police violence and murder of black people.
Thank you.
Exactly. And the people know that, man. They try to stare away from it and make it something it's not, man. We know what Kaepernick was standing, what he took that knee for, man. Everybody know. You can tell people 100,000 times, and you know what they're going to say? He's disrespecting our country.
Now, and crazy wrinkle is Colin Kaepernick wanted to sit during the anthem. But then a teammate of his, who was a Green Beret, said, well, that's actually disrespectful. If you take a knee.
Right, exactly. If you take a knee.
From a United States Green Beret, a white man told Colin Kaepernick that taking the knee, a soldier, his teammate.
They interviewed him one time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow that gets lost in all the gaslighting and political obfuscation. Right past it. And all the race baiting and everything else.
He actually was on tape saying that, like, I'm the one who told her. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, Colin Kaepernick won't play in the NFL again, and it's a shame. Another guy who won't play in the NFL, another kind of talent lost.
Ray Ruth.
Oh, Lord. Oh, I'm not trying to break your chair. Lord Jesus. Ray's out.
Yes.
Ray Ray is out. If you don't know the story about Ray Caruth, I say look up Steve Harvey's bit in the original Kings of Comedy. But it threw me on that one. I was going to talk about Money Manziel and how he's never playing in the NFL. He's a pitchman now for State Farm.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, I'm glad he's not in Allstate because...
Who, Manziel?
Yeah.
Yo, I forgot all about... Who was he playing for?
He was playing for the Montreal Alouettes in the Canadian Football League. He was playing in the...
I'm talking about for the NFL. Did he...
He was with the Browns.
Yeah, he was. He was the truth for Texas Tech.
He was the truth for Texas Tech. What? And he probably made a lot of money at Texas Tech.
Oh, you see, speaking of
now, he's at what, Trader Joe's Insurance?
they bring it NCAA football back. I heard. I don't know how true it is.
Well, that's due to the whole court ruling about being able to pay college players for the likenesses, and that was a whole legal issue that was set off by, you know, former NBA player, UCLA player Charles O'Bannon seeing himself in a video game and being like, well, that's me. Yeah, that's my face. That's, you know, my brother Ed O'Bannon. That's his face. That's his body. Why are we not getting paid for this?
Right.
And that kind of deaded the NCAA football because they couldn't use the likenesses of these players without giving them compensation, because if you give the kids compensation, that breaks NCAA rules and violates them being amateurs, because now they're getting paid to play. And it becomes a whole legal issue that California courts resolved and said, we are going to let these kids get paid for being in these games. Because you're making money hand over fist.
Thank you.
College using them
a whole shitload of money off football and basketball.
Exactly. And there's rumors in the pipe that NCAA football might be coming back, which is the best thing to happen out of all of this.
Yes. Oh, yes. With the fucking, oh my God, the option.
That was my favorite part.
Yes, bro, the option. Oh my God.
Every team I had would run the wishbone.
Yeah,
bro. Triple options. Mm-hmm. I'd pitch it at the last minute. That was one thing that I wish had kind of made the jump to Madden from college football, was that you had the opportunity to do that lateral. You know, because I think especially, you know, when, and it's, there's still plays in there for the Wildcat. You know, you could have that option pitch at the last moment. It would make the read option more believable.
Yeah, they could do a whole lot of stuff, man. Because I feel like they put that college game back in effect, man. You can actually do something the way you could play for 2, 3, 4 years on the college and get put in a new Madden, you know, keep your ratings and shit like that.
I used to love that. I used to love to be able to play college football and then take my guy after he graduates and upload him into my Madden game.
See, man, what?
That was my favorite part. So we've got college football. We've got sorry Joe Flacco, and he dragged his offensive coordinator for the Broncos, said it was their fault. My man, it was second down. You had open in the pocket. He steps up. He cocks his arm back to heave this bomb that's going to give his team the win. And he gets sacked and fumbles the ball. And I've felt that before, Broncos fans. I've had my heart break like that. I know what that is. It's not the offensive coordinator, Joe. Hang it up, man. You're not elite. You look like Bert from Bert and Ernie. It's just not a it's not a good deal, man.
At all. Fuck that.
We've gone a little bit into college sports and NCAA. Tiger Woods is back. Tiger Woods won his first start of the year.
Shout out Tiger Woods.
Tied 82 PGA tours, tied with Sam Snead for the most all-time wins. And Tiger won it in Japan. They actually had to reschedule that match because of the flooding that went through and just devastated Japan. They had a really bad hurricane.
Right.
So they had to reschedule that. In the past year, Tiger's won a tour championship. He won the Masters last April.
Oh, okay.
He's had 3 PGA victories in his past 14 starts.
Nice.
Like, the man is still one of, not the greatest active golfer. One of the greatest of all times, no doubt. Now, without the PEDs and the other extracurriculars.
Yes.
He's not exactly the Terminator that he was in the 90s, where, you know, you didn't really care what he was going through because he was just winning everything.
Yeah,
Tiger was everywhere.
Shout out to fucking Tiger Woods, because it's saying that no golfer has ever won more PGA Tour events than Tiger Woods, man. So shout out to him, man. That's just fucking ridiculous.
And going from being essentially, to real rap, let's get funky with it, be the first black golfer to do this. Now, Tiger says, you know, Calibut Asian, and he's, you know, his dad's.
You mean, he wasn't the first?
Who's before Tiger?
Bagger Vance.
Ah!
it said Tiger Woods opened up with a 3 in a row.
Yeah.
Oh my God, 64-64-66 to take a 3-stroke lead in the final fucking round. That's insane, man. You can't be.
Yeah, I'm saying Tiger is still one of the greatest of all time. So glad to see Tiger's back.
Top of the board, man. Shout out to Tiger fucking Woods.
Shout out to Tiger. And last thing, kind of want to talk about is what's going on with the NBA. So we got a couple games under our belt now.
Yeah, we do. I just seen the Clippers lost. Ooh, they lost. And I seen today, Kawhi is sitting out for management load. What is that?
That means that they don't want him to get hurt by playing too much. It's what the Sixers do with Joel Embiid. You can't really take it, so we're going to sit you for load management. Like, so we're going to need you in April. Keep your legs fresh.
I don't know, man. We looking good, man. LA looking good. I hope we stay healthy. Anthony Davis just had a 40-point game with 20 rebounds in 3 quarters. I just hope we stay healthy, man. We looking good, man. In the East,
Sixers undefeated, 3-0.
Okay.
Woo! 3-0. Okay. Ben Simmons shot a 3 in the game against the Pistons. Didn't make it, but
okay.
We're getting there. Baby steps, like I said in the first podcast. It's been years coming, but Sixers looking good. I was watching Jay Rich, looks good. Horford looks fantastic. Al Horford just getting rebounds, being a defensive stalwart, being a facilitator as a big man, being somebody that can take the load off of Joel Embiid.
Now, how do you feel about them getting rid of Butler for Horford? How do you feel them getting rid of Butler?
Now, Jimmy Butler, I love everybody. You can tell every time we bring somebody up, I say I'm a fan of him. But I do love Jimmy Butler. I loved what he did for Philly. I thought he was one of probably top 10 players in the NBA when he played with the Bulls. I love, perversely, the way that he melted down and got himself out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
I had posted a tweet at the time that he came to Philly saying, you know, I wonder how he's going to bully Markel Fultz once he watches him shoot free throws. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took like a sick joy in Jimmy Butler. He's actually doing Tyler Tuesdays in Miami, where he's following Tyler Harrow around, harassing him, putting him on Instagram. It's kind of like a Gilbert Arenas, Swaggy P kind of vibe.
Okay. Did you hear about that? Swaggy P, oh my God, that was beautiful. Yeah. When I heard that little story about that. Oh man, Gilbert Arenas a good player. I love Gilbert Arenas.
I love Hibachi. You know, shout out to Hibachi.
Shout out to Hibachi.
That the knees get better. He can do something in the big three.
Come on this podcast and talk to us, man. Because I've listened to him on a couple different podcasts. He a down to earth dude. Him and Shaq. We need you, Shaq.
Dr. O'Neal.
Yeah, because he a down to earth dude too, man.
But, so Sixers undefeated. You know, we just beat the Pistons. We got the Timberwolves at home tonight in Philly, 7 o'clock. So I'm looking forward to that. How about your team, Cousin Ryan?
Celtics right now, we're 2-1. We actually do play the Bucks later tonight, as a matter of fact. But we'll have to do it without Enes Kanter and Daniel Tice. So, I just want us to stay healthy this season. We all know what type of trade-up that we made. We no longer have, you know, Al Horford. We no longer have firepower.
Y'all know.
Or precision of Kyrie Irving.
Or Taco.
Took a taco fall. Look.
Y'all need him, man.
Look, he had to go back to formula. He had to go back, you know, to learn the basics. So, they sent him to the D-League, and then he'll learn a little bit and come back. So, We do have Kemba Walker. We do have Gordon Hayward. We do have Jason Tatum. We do have Jalen Brown. We have Marcus Smart. We're good. We're good.
Do y'all get to the playoffs, especially in the East?
We always go to the playoffs. The only question is, are we going to come out? So,
y'all could. Y'all stick together.
Yeah. We'll see. And we can stay healthy. So, if we can do that, then I think we'll have a pretty good season. Now, we got a old Laker fan over here, old rival.
We're not even rivals no more, man. I feel like our rival was more being that LeBron is there with Golden State. But now that era is gone and that's done. Bye-bye Golden State. We ain't got to see that no more, man.
I thought that the retooling with D'Angelo Russell was so weird.
No, it was. No, you want to know something? It was they greedy. You know, they didn't know. They thought KD was gonna stay. Once they realized KD was leaving, they freaked out. They just tried to grab somebody, and that's what they grabbed. Got that man up in Golden State. It's not gonna work, bro. They need Klay, and I feel like Klay leaving, bro. Klay hurt. He know how they did KD.
He just signed a huge contract. And he's hurt.
Well,
Klay gonna be there for a couple
years. Klay ain't gonna know it.
You right. Damn, you right. I'm thinking he did just sign that fucking contract.
And that's the gateway to the East, because you know China Klay love to turn up.
Yeah. So he gotta get healthy, bro. He definitely not coming back this year. That's gonna be an interesting playoffs this year, but next year will be super crazy.
I just hope it's better than last year. You remember how boring last year's playoff was?
No, that shit was interesting. It was boring because Bron wasn't playing. That's the only reason it was boring. This was the first year of the playoffs in, 13, 14 years that Bron wasn't in there.
It was hard to care about it.
How many games did you watch?
I watched all of them. Now, of course, obviously, the last last one was actually
some interesting games, brother. Especially with all...
Interesting, yeah. But I'm just saying from the aspect like, yo, this is the playoffs. This is it. Just that feeling just wasn't there this past season.
I'm watching the Raptors-Sixers game in the car. We're driving around. I'm watching it. And 2 seconds on the clock, I'm like, we got this. We won. No problem. Okay?
And then
my feed cut out.
Oh, man.
Next thing I know, all I see on Twitter is Sixers fans going crazy. Raptors fans are talking about, that's the shot. Kawhi's our dude. We getting the chip. And I'm like, what happened? I have to go home to, you know, get on the Wi-Fi.
And you see how trifling it went in?
Yes.
That was real. Crazy,
and Kawhi's hitting the pose
that was
deep in the bench. Oh, heartbreaker. I'm glad he's in the West again. Goodbye.
Yes.
West hard is a bitch.
Yes, it is.
So, what are your predictions for at least All-Star break? Are the Lakers, one, making any more moves? Two, are they getting close to 500 or are they exceeding?
We gonna start here. We exceeding 500. We definitely exceeding 500. We just got to stay healthy. As far as other moves, I heard we might get Iggy if the Grizzlies buy him out. But, of course, I feel like we're going to be making a couple more moves. People going to see what's going on through the year because a lot of people don't like to play with Bron. They didn't want to play with Bron. That's why a whole lot of stars didn't really sign with him. But they're going to see what's going on. And I feel like it's going to be a couple more key players that gravitate just because they want a ring too. And why not? Lakers is looking good, man. We got a lot of role players. Caldwell Pope to Avery Bradley. Shit. Man, we got everybody, man. We got a whole lot of role players. I feel like we can get deep in the playoffs. So our only problem with me is if Houston get it together. If Houston can figure it out, it's going to be a
laughing
problem.
Yeah, I know.
No, for real. If Houston can figure it out, it's going to be a problem. They won last night, and Westbrook had a double-double, and Harden had 40, so... Both of them playing their games and they won.
Say that again. What did Westbrook have?
A double double.
A double double, not a triple double.
I mean,
not a triple. Remember we talked about this on the first podcast.
He almost had a triple double. He just did. Because
he's not going to be able to get away with that in Houston.
But see, no, he don't want to do that in Houston. He wanted to do that in
Oklahoma City, because that was just, you know, I feel like he did it at first, just trying to win games. He realized what he was doing, so it got to the point where he was just past that stat padding or whatever. But he can't do that shit now, man. It's no point to do it now. It's no point to bust your ass and all that, because he got burnt out last year in the playoffs, bro. It's no point. You see who did him dirty last year in the playoffs. Fucking, what you call it from the Blazers did him.
Dame Lillard.
Oh, my God.
Dame.
Scored.
Dame Dolan.
Treated him like a shut baby, bro. And I feel like a big part of that was because Westbrook was burnt out, bro. Stat padding and all of that shit through the season, bro. He was burnt out. So I feel like he should not have to worry about rebounds and shit this year, man. They got a good team. If they can learn how to play those two crazy-ass offensive players, they'll be unstoppable, man.
All right, so coming into February, what's the Lakers' record?
I'm giving us coming into February, I'm going to give us a good... I'm going to give us a good 25-7. Something like that.
Okay. So...
30-7, something like that. Well, I don't see us losing that many games, bro. Everybody stays healthy, bro. Can't nobody beat us, bro. It's impossible to beat somebody. I mean, you got to think about it. The AD was winning with the Pelicans by himself. Now, I mean... I feel like them two, even though he had 40 and 20, he didn't have to do that to win, bro. That was just him.
You discount Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday had a rebirth.
He definitely did.
But Philly did him dirty, and then he's the man in New Orleans.
He did, but bro.
He's the one holding it together. He's like Troy Hudson back in the days with the Timberwolves. When KG got hurt, when the Charles Sprewell said he needed $6 million to feed his family, when Sam Cassell went back to being irrelevant, Troy Hudson was holding it down in Minnesota, okay? So I feel like he's the Troy Hudson of that team.
Huh. Yeah, he might be. Well, not now. He can't be now.
Drew Holiday.
You think so now?
Holding it down. Yes.
No.
Who else doing it?
Josh Hart doing it?
Yeah. Have y'all been watching basketball? Josh Hart is pulling up. He is making clutch shots. Brandon Ingram, Zion.
Zion hurt. He going to be gone for the next 2 months.
My brother, who else? Okafor? Man, they got a squad, bro.
I passed on Jaleel Okafor a long time ago.
I just wanted to throw him out there. He actually hurt on 2K.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Fucking Okafor. I saw the only highlight I've seen so far of Lonzo Ball on the Pelicans is when he tried the James Harden 3-pointer and got nothing but air. So
shout out to Zoto, man. I wish they would still be on LA, but
it's the price you pay.
Yeah.
Now, cousin Ryan, any predictions about the Celtics?
I think Celtics gonna get a ring this year.
A ring.
A ring out the
coming
east.
Out the east.
Coming out the east. Coming out beating somebody in the west, bro.
Wow. Okay. Extrapolate on that.
I'm extremely hopeful. No, in all reality, I see us being probably number 3. Out the east. And we're good for it.
I got y'all.
Are you making
one.
Moves? What are you doing?
Number 1?
I got y'all coming out the east number 1.
Realistically, number 3.
I'm going to say that because I think Philly's going to get hurt. I feel like Embiid's going to get hurt.
That's
injuries,
what it'll take.
Bro.
It's going to take
y'all
some
got
shit like that.
Some young boys over there that don't really get hurt, bro. But I feel like Embiid is y'all kid. He going to get hurt. I don't want him to, but Embiid... No.
But that's what happens. Yeah. Joel Embiid got hurt in the playoffs last year, but we had Tobias Harris,
yeah,
who we still have, re-signed to a max deal.
Yeah,
we
have to help out, man.
Al Horford, one of the greatest defenders... One of the best big men, like I said before, can facilitate, he can block, he can shoot. Fantastic. We got Zaire Smith coming back. He was injured, didn't see anything of him his rookie year.
Yeah, you're right.
We got Ben Simmons, the 6'10 and 3/4, you know, point guard. Okay. Adding a jumper. Okay. Who else? I mean, we got a good squad. And I think with the way that the power has shifted, where it's gone back to the East is kind of raggedy again. Okay? It's gone back to, you know, that mid to late 90s where the East was raggedy. You had guys like AI holding it down. You had the last legs of, you know, Reggie Miller in Indiana. But the East was raggedy. You had a little bit of Jason Kidd and Kenny Martin and Vince Carter. But compared to Kobe, Shaq, you know, compared to Tim Duncan and all, you know, Manu out there in San Antonio, like Baron Davis even holding it down in Golden State. You remember the I Believe team? Shout
out to Baron Davis.
So the East has kind of gone back to being raggedy. I think the Sixers.
East only been made without Bron. Bron was the only reason the East was all raggedy. It was Bron every year, man, and out the East. No matter where he went, it was Bron. From the Heat to Cleveland, it was Bron. Then he missed out last year because of injuries and all this and all that. We still ain't even had, we don't even have Kuzma back yet.
I would say my prediction for the Sixers is at least by the All-Star break, we're
between y'all, so
five games over 500.
Yeah.
And I don't really see us making any moves, maybe to add some more three-point shooting.
Y'all might for real.
Y'all we got a good rookie in Matheus Thybulle. Yeah. You know, he's fantastic. He actually broke the Pac-12 record for steals. He broke Gary Payton's record.
The glove?
Yeah. Yeah. Matheus Thybulle is known as the disruptor.
Okay.
Because he got these long arms. He's got this great reach. He's got these big hands. You know, he's got touch from three. He's got a good corner three. He could drive to the basket. He's really kind of a five-tool player. More on the defense, but he's a rookie,
yeah.
So he's going to keep getting better, you know, but that's kind of the Philly way to get hyped up about rookies. And then now we're in the post-process era, kind of got to see what happens.
Yeah.
So, got anything else? Oh, we're going to do some shout-outs. So.
Oh, yeah. Shout-out to everybody who's listening to this podcast, man. We do have an email, man, and that's Two Dope Bros Podcast at gmail.com. And that's the number 2 Dope, D-O-P-E, Bros, B-R-O-S, Podcast at gmail.com. So you can hit us up, give us questions, anything, man. If you want to come on the show, whatever the case may be, man, we'll let you know what's going on. And shout out, because the first episode, we didn't even shout out our bro, Cheeks Lacosa, and that song at the beginning of the first episode, that was actually a song off his new album, the Uncle Cheech album, which is on all platforms, iTunes, everything. Go check that out. That song was actually called Anthem. That motherfucker was rocking on it. I was listening to that the first podcast. It makes me want to take a shower or something, man. All right, man. But yeah, man, find him, man. linktr.ee/CheechLacosa. Or you can go to his CheechLacosa.com for merchandise and hoodies and hats and sweatshirts, man. It's getting cold out here, people. So go get that merch, man. But other than that, man, appreciate y'all. It's another day, man. Complete.
That's right. So it's good to talk to y'all. Turn your lights off if you ain't got no candy.
All right, there you go. Don't worry about none.
All right. All right.